it's just a rap thing.
And we're back with episode 33 of The Sounds of Struggle. I am Chris Parrish.
And I am drinking at my favorite Wobbly Pop stop. The award-winning first round.
Yeah. We're DOL once again.
Yeah.
So, not that much is going on in sports this week.
There's enough for a podcast.
Well, yeah, it's more wrestling.
Is that a problem?
No, I'm just saying sports are very boring.
Well, at this time of year, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Baseball, step up. You suck right now.
Yep. The only thing I have for baseball is we should go to an Edmonton Prospects game.
Should we bring the wives?
Well, I think it's only fair. Treat them to a night out. Cheap beer. Cheap seats.
Exactly. And there's so many prospects. Why?
Not that kind of prospect.
Oh.
Unless you're into young boys. But hey, you know, there's anything wrong with that.
$5 foot long.
Yeah, no thank you. I'll pay full price for mine, thank you.
But angels are in the outfield, right?
Don't care. Don't care.
Okay, fine.
Do you hear that O.J. Simpson's getting released in October?
Yay! We should ask him to do a podcast.
We should ask him to be the heater for our team.
You know what? I now have a strong urge that we should now start wearing gloves. Do you think you would try them for us?
They'd probably be too small.
Yeah.
Yeah. But either way, we should either at least ask him to be on this podcast.
He might try to sell our own stuff, though.
That's true. Then he'd kidnap us. Then he'd go back to jail. The point is, we should try. Let's do it.
I'm in!
Okay. Also, did you see that, that McGregor... Mayweather press conferences that were going all over the place?
Yeah.
There's a guy in London who actually snuck in the back door with fake laminates. And he got ringside. I think that's fantastic.
Good for him.
Right? That's fantastic.
Wow. MMA is really boring.
Yes, the only thing I have is Lesnar and Jones might become a thing eventually.
Yeah, John Jones, who apparently is overlooking Daniel Cormier right now, but is already challenging Brock Lesnar to a fight.
Dude, do you think he'll even be still
allowed? Well, no, sorry.
Allowed?
Brock Lesnar, I think, issued the challenge.
Yes, he did, but John Jones said yes.
Yeah. But, I don't know, I think John Jones should maybe win his fight against Cormier first.
I still don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, he responded because there's so much cocaine in his system.
Cocaine's one hell of a drug.
It's one hell of a drug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear that about the Phelps racing a shark?
Yeah, I saw it. It was boring.
So lame. They didn't even race at the same time.
No!
Like, what was the point of that?
I don't know.
By the way, Phelps lost. Just proving that sharks are better than Phelps.
By 2 seconds, though.
Now, the shark should just swim in the other lane. And then when he was actually in the lane, and attacked Phelps and he ate him. That'd be good TV.
Unless they're from San Jose, and then they won't do anything this time of the year.
Well, see, if it was from San Jose, they wouldn't have won.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. They wouldn't have done anything this time of the year.
Exactly. Also,
they would have made a falloon out of themselves.
Ha.
yeah.
That is good. That is good. You hear that the only thing I have for basketball, which we don't normally do?
No, we hate basketball.
Derrick Rose is now with the Cavs for 1 year. And Kyrie Irving wants a trade.
Yeah. Way to go, Rose.
That's all I have. Also, that LeVar Ball guy who's a douche apparently pulled his team off the court and...
While they were winning,
and ended up getting having to forfeit the game in a playoffs and ended up losing because of a technical foul that he didn't agree with.
He hated the officiating.
I think that's sad.
Anybody who has a child playing on the Bell team should pull their kid out as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
That guy is a tool.
Yes. Okay. Now, my popular vote, hockey or wrestling next?
Hockey.
Okay.
Because there's not much of it.
Let's see, I'm going to go rapid fire here. Colton Parayko, 5 years, $27 million contract. Thomas Tatar, 4-year, $21.2 million contract. Victor Arvidsson, 7-year, $29.75 million. Brandon Dumoulin.
There you go.
There we go. Apparently, he actually had a broken hand like 7 times or something ridiculous like that in the playoffs. So good for him for playing. Anyway, 6 years, $24.6 million contract. Johnny Oduya, 1 year, $1 million contract with the Senators.
Yeah, everybody else re-signed with their teams except for Oduya.
Yes.
Who left Chicago.
And Mika Zibanejad.
Stayed with the Rangers.
Yes, 5 years, $26.75 million.
Yeah, so.
Okay, hypothetical. KHL sends their best players from every team, like an all-star team, over to the NHL. In April, when it comes time for playoffs, are they in the playoffs, on the cusp, or not even close? Where are they?
Given the fact that they're all Russian, they're not even close.
I'm going to say they're probably like a, 12th or 13th place. They're not the bottom.
They're probably just a little better than Vancouver.
Probably.
So, yeah. I don't know. Just better than the Swedes, I guess.
Yeah. I think they'd be last. I think, 13th overall in whatever conference they'd be in. I think that's where they'd be. Head of the playoffs.
Let's hope to God it's the East, because they would get eaten alive in the West.
They get just destroyed in the West, yes. Yeah. Also, same with the KHL, Ilya Kovalchuk says this will be his last season in the KHL. Next year he will play in the NHL.
Well, yeah. He stayed there because that's this way he gets to play Olympics.
Yes.
And nobody in the NHL wanted him. But yeah, no. Kovalchuk staying in the KHL for one more year. Yeah. Nobody in the NHL wanted to trade for him.
Not surprising.
I mean, why would you?
Also, I want your opinion on something. Johnny Gaudreau, in an interview, said he expressed interest in playing in his hometown of Philly. Is this something that Calgary fans, although we can laugh at them, should be concerned about?
Sure. Nobody likes Calgary.
That's very true. Very true.
But, I mean, Wayne Gretzky also said the same thing about Toronto and never actually played for the Maple Leafs.
Probably because he realized that the team sucked.
Well, Philly's not that much better.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
I mean, unless Gaudreau is going to play goal.
Yeah. Is it too early? Because, I mean, it is the end of July. Is it too early to talk about the Heischer-Patrick points race?
Yes.
My opinion, yes. Preseason hasn't even started.
One of them plays to the Leafs, so none of them are going to be as good as Matthews, who is supposedly better than McDavid already.
Is that proven or what?
Well, I mean, if you ask everyone who's wearing blue, yes.
Like, does that include guys from Columbus?
Sure, they're stupid.
Okay, fair enough. Very good. Also, apparently Nolan Patrick missed training camp for an infection in his face. I guess he wanted to pull the Gar Snow and just... Or sorry, no, the Rick DiPietro. And just not show up.
Yeah, and then 2 weeks later found out it was just a birthmark. Use that ugly, boy. Use that ugly.
That's pretty ugly. Yeah. That's some sort of ugly. The only other thing I have... everyone's concerned about... As becoming a thing on NHL jerseys, which I don't think they should be.
No. Adidas and the NHL agreed that the first 5 years already no ads will be on jerseys.
Yeah.
Batman is not for ads.
And you know what? I like that. I don't normally like the guy, but good for him for being firm on that subject. And people are up in arms in Montreal because, well, first of all, they're French. And second of all, they have a $150 tax on... actual physical stubs if you want them printed out from like Ticketmaster.
See, this is why we should have taken care of Quebec when we had a chance and let them be their own country.
Take care of them, just boot them.
Their economy would have been way worse than ours is right now.
Exactly. Plus there would have been three teams in the NHL, or three countries in the NHL.
I know.
There we go. But yeah, overall, as much as it might suck because some people collect, ticket stubs, whatever. It's 2017. We're going to 2017-2018 season. I couldn't tell you the last time I actually had a physical ticket. I just print them off. That's what I've been doing for years now.
Yeah, but I mean, we're young, and there's a lot of old people that still like that kind of nostalgic factor. I don't know. Like, I still keep some tickets. I don't know. Like, I have the ticket from the last game at Rexall.
That would be one that, okay, fair, that makes sense. But they're in the Montreal Forum,
I have a ticket from when I went there, too.
Yeah. I mean, if I had one of those, that'd be cool. But otherwise, now it's like they're in the Bell Center. It's, you know?
But yeah, I mean.
I mean, if you want them, I guess now you got to pay. Or you have
in Montreal.
Yeah, just in Montreal. But overall, I don't keep them. I found one from 2 years ago in my house the other day when I was cleaning up. I have the memories. I don't use things like ticket stubs. That's just me, though. Just because I'm better than most.
I'd rather keep the beer cups and see how many of those I can have kept over the years.
He has 20,000 right now. Entire wall lined in his house.
I have more cups than the Maple Leafs. Burn!
Yeah, but so do I, and I just bought one set from Walmart.
Yeah. No, and they only came in twos.
Exactly. Which is not quite true, but anyways.
Still beats Calgary.
Yeah, that's very true. Shall we dive into the wrestling?
Might as well, since it's all there is to talk about.
Really, it is. Battleground Breakdown.
Woo!
Woo! Go pay-per-view. What were your thoughts overall?
You know what? I didn't think the matches were bad. There was obviously a couple that I, you know, didn't really enjoy as much. But I just thought there was no flow to the whole entire show.
Yeah. I actually didn't mind the pay-per-view overall. I thought there's a couple matches that might have, could have been tweaked or shortened or whatever, but overall, I was not upset with it, really.
Yeah. So we'll start off with a kickoff. And that was Aiden English against Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, which I thought Ty Dillinger was going to go over. And at first I wasn't very happy because Aiden English went over, but you know what? Actually, kind of, it doesn't bury him. They're not pulling the old Curt Hawkins on Aiden English.
No.
That's kind of nice.
It's weird because Aiden English is one of those guys that ever since Simon Gotch was let go, he was kind of in, okay, now what are we doing with him kind of a... And then he comes out to this whole, I'm going to sing, kind of like I'm a opera guy. But, I don't know, like, to me, I'm just not sold on him yet that I care enough about him by himself.
Not yet. But I you know what? I have faith. Give it time. If they keep doing this with him, I think he's going to get over.
And I think part of me, too, is that I think Ty Dillinger should have something better than Aiden English at this point. I would much rather see, say, as Sam, maybe put Aiden English with, say, like Zack Ryder or something.
Yeah.
Or, and then put maybe Ty Dillinger with Mike Kanellis.
Okay. Yeah.
But actually, you know what? Aiden English, Chad Gable would actually be pretty well. Too.
Yeah, they would.
And they have more chemistry than just from their tag matches in the sense of they've worked each other, you know, prior before in singles. So yeah. I think it wouldn't be that bad to see them in a program. I just think Ty Dillinger should be something further along. But, I mean, again, like, I agree. Like, I'm glad that they're just not burying Aiden English. But with that being said, like, I just felt so... feel Ty Dillinger should be used a little bit better than a kickoff match.
And it's not just because he's Canadian. It's because he's good enough to be able to warrant it.
No, I think when he came into, he had some buzz around him. And yeah. I think they're kind of killing that buzz by not making him a prominent mainstay on the show.
Yeah.
So, Aiden English, there wasn't really that much buzz. Actually, I think a lot of people would say that the Vaudevillains were...
kind of out of nowhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And people are like, really? You would bring these guys up, but not American Alpha, Revival?
Which, American Alpha, I've already said that I don't think they should have broke them up, but that's just me.
No. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm more open to, you know, where they go in their own ways now than...
yeah.
I would have been before. I'd much rather see them do what they did now than not use them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, yeah. Okay, well, I mean, the match itself wasn't bad.
No, actually, I, you know, I was invested enough in the match, so.
So, just for me, it wasn't really enough to keep my peak. I'm glad it was the kickoff.
Yeah, it did what it needed to do. It's,
and,
you know.
And that was kind of like, for me, there's a few matches that just didn't have my attention. and my interest, and that being one of them, just because, in all honesty, I don't think the winner or loser really meant anything to me.
No, it doesn't really. I mean, I guess it kind of establishes the both superstars, but in the same sense, it doesn't really get either one of them anywhere ahead. It's actually very reminiscent of the flag match, which we'll get to.
Yeah, no, my thoughts are pretty much similar for that one as well. Anyway, moving on to the opening match.
Tag match.
Yes.
Which, you know what? I thought for sure the Usos were going to retain. Yeah.
Really good match.
You know, it was very back and forth. Oh. And actually, I really enjoyed this match because it was Xavier Woods, which, generally speaking, when he's in the ring, New Day loses. They kind of used him as almost like the out. And they really showcased him in a tough way, as well as showing his skill in the ring. And I thoroughly enjoyed this match. The Usos are fantastic. They've come a long way since they started. And I'm looking forward to what these two teams can do in the future.
The one thing I just don't understand from the Usos is you are the champs. The last time you were in the ring, you took a count out voluntarily. Therefore, you're okay with, you know, not going over the hill just to retain the titles. My thing is, when you're against a New Day, why doesn't a team acknowledge the three-man only to get the ref to send one out? We have yet to see that.
Well, since the days of their heels, yeah.
And to me, this is why I'm just not invested in the New Day as much as maybe everyone else is. I just don't care anymore about them being in the title hunt because you overplayed their stay on Raw when they were the tag champs then.
Well, fair enough.
On top of that, the Freebird rule works better in a heel way than it does in a babyface capacity.
That is true.
I'd much rather see them establish two people in a tag and one person in singles. And for me, that singles would be Big E.
Yep, have him almost turn into a faction instead of a tag team.
Yeah. But with that said, I really hope they have one more match at SummerSlam for those tag titles. I just don't understand why you needed to take the titles off the Usos.
Yeah, I think if they actually did some sort of like disqualification, like, you know, one of the Usos used a chair, or say they were beating down the New Day so bad that Big E got involved and caused a disqualification, and then it just built to a big match at SummerSlam, that would have been...
I would have loved to see a ladder match between the Usos and the New Day at SummerSlam.
Yep. Speaking of which, small note, ladder match coming up in MVW that we'll be a part of.
Well, you know, I mean, we do technically have to be two teams to get there.
We'll be a part of it, don't you?
But, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not like we did it last year.
We are reigning.
Wait a second, we did it last year.
We'll be reigning defending champions of this tournament.
Yeah.
Of this brand new tournament, which we'll get to later.
Yeah. But, with that said, like, good match. I just didn't understand the reason why they flipped the titles now. Wait till you got that gimmick match.
It's almost like when Bayley won the women's title. It seemed like a little premature.
Or when Naomi won the SmackDown women's title as well.
A little premature, yes.
So, to me, I just think you could have made it bigger at SummerSlam.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
But at the same time, I still think the Usos are the best tag team right now in WWE.
It's really hard to argue that otherwise.
I think just lately they've been on such a surge that if they don't have the straps, I think they kind of lose that credibility a little bit, in the sense of, okay, they know that everyone knows that they're good, but they don't have the validation of being tag champions.
Yeah.
And they're not tag champions very often, so I think when they do have them, they strongly believe that when they have the titles, that they are the best.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people have that feeling when they are a champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was the...
Next match.
Yeah.
It was Nakamura versus Corbin, which I felt was almost unnecessary. I mean, I know there's bad blood from last, like the Money in the Bank pay-per-view when Baron Corbin jumped him, but I don't know. I feel like this was not thrown together, but did they need to do it on this pay-per-view?
Well, one thing I just don't think is told well is right now Shinsuke does not carry a feud well on TV.
No, he definitely does not.
And Baron Corbin doesn't do a great job either. I still think he needs a lot of work on his promos.
Yeah.
While he's getting better and better in the ring. This is one match where I just honestly did not understand what either one of them benefited with.
Yeah.
The finish, I think, was very evident to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the, you know, low blow. It just shows that Corbin felt vulnerable and he kind of, you know, went for the cheap loss, but keeping himself strong. At the same time, though, he's the Money in the Bank guy. It's almost like
they always have a tendency of building the Money in the Bank winner very poorly after he wins it.
That is very true.
So when he cashes in, now it's like he gets that push.
Edge's push against, like, you know, Kane.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, even Jack Swagger, even Seth Rollins to an extent.
Not as much, but still.
Not to the extreme.
No, but still.
CM Punk, actually.
Yeah, both times.
Yeah. So I don't know. To me, I would have much been better off if I would have saw, you know, say Rusev and Nakamura and Cena against Corbin.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, just somebody different. Maybe even Owens and Nakamura for the U.S. title.
That would also be, yeah.
AJ and Corbin.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, that being said, the match itself wasn't terrible, but again, it's just I didn't have that pull to actually want to watch it.
Yeah, they didn't necessarily capture my emotional interest.
Especially after that match at Money in the Bank. The match you want to see is Styles versus Nakamura, not Corbin.
And we understand that if you're going to see that, they're going to make it at a...
Like either
a WrestleMania or WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So,
and we get that, but to go from that to suddenly this, there was not much of a build-up.
No. And I think now with TV, you can't just build a match on TV. You need to go a few months, use a pay-per-view in there as well. A lot of the good feuds nowadays tend to have the overlap of pay-per-views. It's just now we use TV to go to one pay-per-view and one and done.
Yeah.
You know, we have kind of chapters of the storyline. I kind of look at why you're invested in the Randy Orton Jinder Mahal. I mean, this is kind of the third pay-per-view now. So they have that emotional investment with additional time.
Yeah.
And you're taking your time, so you care about it more. Anyway, the match ended with a low blow from Corbin on a Nakamura, and it made, like you said, it made Corbin still look strong, made him look vulnerable to take the cheap shot.
Yep.
But with that being said, it didn't do anything to help propel Nakamura.
Quick little side, Tuesday night SmackDown Live.
They had a match.
They had a rematch, and Nakamura looked strong as ever there. Yeah. So, which was kind of nice, but at the same time, it's, again, it moved on Nakamura onto bigger things for the following week.
What's the point of doing the same match 2 days later?
Exactly.
And then finishing it off. Exactly. Why not finish it off?
Yeah.
That's only kind of my thing.
Yeah.
But
that, again, that kind of leaves, like, why, what does Corbin do now? Because he won, they lost on TV, and now he's still kind of, you know, treading water.
Yeah. This then leads us to, I believe, the five-way.
The women match, yes.
Women's match, which I thought actually was the best match of the show.
You can definitely make arguments for it, yes. Which it was Charlotte, Becky, Lana, Tamina, and Natalya.
Yeah.
And it came down to it, and...
It came down to Charlotte and Natalya.
Yeah, Becky defeated Lana and then Tamina, back-to-back. Before she was defeated by Natalya.
Yeah.
Which, I wouldn't say I called it, but I mean, like, I figured she'd get a couple and then be eliminated either at the end or close to the end. Which, was quick succession, but still, good match.
See, I definitely would have had Becky start with... I'd probably put Becky with Lana because I would trust the two together.
Yeah.
Have Becky go over, maybe lose to Tamina, put Charlotte in there who would go over, and then bring out Natalya. Yeah. And then the finish ended up seeing Natalya use the turnbuckle, the bottom turnbuckle.
And which, you know what? A lot of people didn't like, from what I've read, a lot of people didn't like the whole roll-up thing, but it's different. I enjoyed it.
To me, it just didn't look as vicious as it could have.
Okay, so maybe it's more of just
a... I think it was just an execution.
Yeah, maybe it's just the way
it was. Which is very ironic, given that Natalya is the niece of the excellence of execution.
Well, you can't be perfect every night of the year.
Kurt Hennig could.
Look where it got him.
Staying in the family.
Look where it got him.
Curtis Axel.
But look where it got him.
Yeah, Hall of Fame.
Yep. And 6 feet under.
Well, you know.
And his son,
that was the 80s.
And his son is now part of the Miztourage.
Hey. Main evented Raw.
Okay, fine.
But no, moving on to the match, staying with the match. I thought this did a very good job of propelling Charlotte as a babyface.
Yep, absolutely.
I thought it was a good way of reestablishing Natalya as a top heel on the SmackDown roster.
Yep.
And obviously, I don't think it did much for the other three, just because I think you still see Becky in the same light as you did going in, as
it,
you do
it
after.
It shows her she's able to beat two, but still, she's like... upper mid-card female, I guess?
Yeah. So. And this basically sets up Naomi against Natalya at SummerSlam for the women's title. I believe Carmella walks out of SummerSlam as women's champion.
See, I'm of a different mind. I'm almost hoping that she holds it and does something that no one's done, like, say, cash in a win at Survivor Series. Which... If she literally, like, say for like even like a month or two, doesn't wrestle at all on SmackDown, everything, just every time Naomi's in the ring, she's there, just always over her shoulder. I like that, you know. It hasn't done quite a while, so like, why not do it?
Well, I find like she has been doing the backstage segments.
Yep.
Telling Naomi that she's watching her, and all that stuff. But again, you have somebody with a briefcase and you're not seeing very much done.
Again, that's very true.
So it might be more of them just trying to make the briefcase always a surprise when it's cashed in.
That's
just fine.
Guess, but I
think it's just overused. Overdone.
Yes, yeah, possible.
So
carrying on?
Yes.
Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles for the United States Championship match.
And
this was a good match until the finish.
See, here's my thought about this. I said Battleground had no flow. I did not think this match had one either.
I still enjoyed it.
I was not... I had a bit of recollection in this match where when I watch Kevin Owens, I'm thoroughly entertained by his using the crowd during this match.
Yes.
But he definitely goes move to move too much in these matches. And I feel the more he does it, the more repetitive he's becoming. I'm finding a theme in this when watching him.
Explain.
He is guaranteed to hit the following moves in every match now. The cannonball. He will hit his running senton on the laying opponent, and he will always either generally hit his pop-up powerbomb, whatever, or it will fail and go to a finish. But the majority of his moves, he usually always hits in the match. Whether it's the moonsault or the swanton that he always misses, they always put their feet up. He never actually hits. It's like Ric Flair when he goes up. Everyone always tosses him down. I just think a lot of this is becoming a little bit more repetitive the more times we see it. He's a headlock master. I would like him to use the headlock a little bit more, which he did in this match.
Yes, he did.
But I would like him to not use it three quarters in as much. And I would like him to make this a mainstay and a theme of start.
Maybe I'm just too bought in at this point, because I still quite enjoyed it.
I just, near the end, I was a little bit spent with all the moves.
Okay.
To me, I just didn't find, like, what... Case in point, what was the story of this match?
Title match? Other than that, I couldn't tell you.
Well, and that's exactly where kind of my issue is. I'm not completely crapping on this match, because it's two really good talents. But for me, I just expected something more... I don't want to say main event, but this is a main event caliber match.
Yes.
And I didn't feel like I got that.
Oh, okay. I do admit that the finish was awkward.
And that's another thing, too.
But they actually went on to explain that there's something supposed to happen that never did.
Well, they didn't do. Basically, the finish came when Kevin Owens actually threw Styles into the ref.
Which I thought was awesome.
I like too, but what I also didn't understand, and before I'm going to get to that, there's a point where they're on the outside, and Owens picks up Styles like a back suplex and puts him face first into the corner, and it looked like he sacked himself. And my first instinct, why wouldn't you disqualify Kevin Owens?
That's true. I mean, I guess you could argue with that it was more of a stomach and face thing, but yeah.
But they didn't, and that's part of my thing. There wasn't no identification.
But it seems to be a WWE thing that as long as, you know, if you kick the ropes and the guy's on it and he falls and hits himself in the groin, they don't really care. As long as you don't actually directly contact them. But secondary contact, they seem to be okay with it.
And to me, I don't know. That leads to a lot of confusion. But yeah, no, the finish came when the ref was knocked out. You had AJ, or I believe Kevin Owens went for a crossface.
Yep.
AJ reversed it. I was 100% expecting Kevin Owens to tap with the ref not seeing.
Or cheat or something, which didn't happen.
And yet, that's exactly what didn't happen. We ended up seeing pretty much a clean pop-up powerbomb for the 1-2-3.
Which was, it seemed weird. Like, the flow of the match at that point especially was just weird.
There's a rumor going around that after the match, a second referee was supposed to come out to let the referee know that Kevin Owens intentionally threw the AJ onto him, causing the match to be restarted. Which, right there, I would have just disqualified Kevin Owens and not restarted the match.
Yeah.
But then AJ was supposed to retain, which makes a lot of sense given that AJ stood in the ring very irate.
As Kevin Owens going up the ramp but not leaving.
Yeah. And then on SmackDown, we see that AJ Styles reclaims the U.S. title.
In a triple threat match with Jericho, which was surprising.
Yes. We'll get to that a little bit later, but... only a further proof that maybe AJ Styles was supposed to retain all along.
Yep.
So, like, again, I said a little bit about the execution in the women's match. I feel this was a direct lack of execution.
Yeah.
In this match as well. So,
Moving on to the match that I think did nobody any benefit whatsoever. It was John Cena versus Rusev in a flagpole match.
Yeah.
I feel like this was a waste of time, really. Basically a match filler, like a card filler. I was not invested. I didn't really care about the winning. The match just, it went on way too long.
I feel like I saw this match at WrestleMania 31.
Yeah, it went on for over 20 minutes, and I found like it was just killing time.
Yeah.
There was no need for it.
outside of the fact that both guys came back on July 4th.
Yeah.
Was there truly a pro-US, anti-US storyline here?
No.
I didn't really feel it out of any
it
one of the
very
two.
Thrown together last
week. Rusev does his shtick about stupid Americans and all that stuff. And then John Cena is the patriot of the... and the pro-United States of the two. But at the same time, it just did not have that feel.
No.
You didn't have the U.S. versus Bulgaria feel to this match.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, it failed from a story point of view.
Yeah.
Cena eventually gets the win.
Which... I don't know, just...
You draft Rusev. He comes back, what, 4 or 5 months after? Debuts, only to lose.
To a guy who is a free agent.
And it's...
It just, this did nothing for the mainstay guy.
What do you do with Rusev moving forward now?
You're going to have to do something with him. Otherwise, just his credibility is shot.
I just don't understand why I should be emotionally invested in Rusev moving forward right now.
Yeah. Which... And now this Cena versus Nakamura next week on SmackDown. And if whoever wins faces Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam. So, again, what does that do? Really, this match is basically nothing.
Yeah, and Nakamura got this spot after beating Baron Corbin.
On SmackDown.
Earlier in that evening. Yeah. And John Cena gets it for pretty much winning against Rusev in the flag match.
The match itself was, again, yeah, it was just 21 minutes and 10 seconds of filler in my eyes. A match, 21 minutes and 10 seconds that could have been given to the likes of Sami Zayn and Mike Kanellis, who I bet you could have done something really good with it. But instead, they had 7 minutes 15 seconds.
And it looks like Mike Kanellis' push is already falling flat.
Yes.
Because he has not... Not only did he lose against Sami Zayn this week, again...
But on SmackDown, lost in a tag match.
Exactly. And got the and was the one who got pinned.
Yeah. Both times.
So, the First Lady and the man who takes his wife's name. Not looking good for you right now.
But, you know, maybe they have something planned for them. So, the match itself was
the
okay.
Power of love
yeah.
is not that powerful.
Now you gotta call Huey Lewis and figure out what the news is.
We got a bad case of not working out.
Yeah. The match itself wasn't terrible, but I mean, it was just too short. Like, it just was basically, you know, boom, 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 done.
Well, and like, good, you catapulted Sami Zayn to the next tier.
Yeah.
And now you put Mike Kanellis in a position where, alright, the guy debuted. We got a strong reaction for debuting. Since then, steadily going downhill now.
Yep.
What does he do now? And why should I be invested in Mike Kanellis moving forward?
Agreed.
And this leads us to the world title main event.
Kujabi Prison Match, which I personally think of the three, it was the best one.
And I think we both knew that just because both participants were better workers.
Yes.
In terms of combination than the other two matches were.
Yeah, and the fact that kudos to the Singh boys who were probably under the ring the entire show. It's kind of funny. Sucks for them, but kind of funny.
Well, they did do the backstage segment.
But that could have easily...
With Jinder Mahal. But, I mean, you could have... Turn the lights off and played our video package and had them go under.
That is very true.
So, they definitely put the work in that night.
Yes, they did. They took all the bumps.
Pretty much. All the big ones.
Good Canadian boys. Sorry, from India. They're from India.
But they also are treated as Hindu, which makes no sense. Because Hindu does not come from India.
There are a lot of Hindu people in India, though.
No, but, like, most Indians are not Hindu.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah.
I'd say about half. Where are the most Indians, then?
Well, because listen to Jinder Mahal. on his last
podcast. Punjabi's a language, though. It's not a not a religion.
But
so is it possible that Hindu people speak Punjabi? I don't know, because I've never been over there, so I can't tell. Anyways.
But yeah, it's a little bit, I don't know, there's a few things that don't make sense. Let's just leave it at that.
WWE, they don't have to make sense, it's wrestling.
Yeah. They're just trying to sell to India.
Yeah.
That's really everything. But yeah, the match itself was actually quite good. For me, a further explanation of if you allow them to put in the time, whether it's TV, pay-per-views, eventually you have a gimmick match that has more interest towards it.
Yep.
And just when it looks like Randy Orton is about to climb over the second Punjabi fence.
Which, by the way, Jinder Mahal makes it out of the doors. And then Randy Orton climbs up and basically walks, steps across, and he's on the top of the cage on the other side. It's like, why didn't they just do that from the start?
Right?
But anyways.
But, well, I think, too, if there's two guys trying to prevent you from leaving out the door, they can't prevent you from climbing.
I guess that's true.
So, we saw that. We've seen that happen before in cage matches.
That is true.
Especially with Seth Rollins and, J&J security.
Yes, that's true.
So anyway, as he's climbing over, Jinder Mahal's music starts playing, which people are kind of confused with, only for the great Khali to return.
Yes.
And as soon as he returns, he walks out and starts shaking to Punjabi prison, to where Randy Orton falls back in.
And I thought it was almost a legitimate fall. The way he sold it. It was very good. But let's quickly backtrack just before that and how he put one of the Singh boys through the announce table from the top or almost the top of the outside prison wall.
Yeah.
And just ruthlessly beats another one with a chair and a kendo stick and the kitchen sink and his firstborn and whatever else.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was a little bit of all right.
A little bit of all right indeed.
Yeah.
But no, that's what we're talking about. The Singh brothers definitely stole the show in terms of the bumps, in terms of, you know, what was done. I mean, I think we expected the Singh brothers to get beat up in this match. And we expected Jinder Mahal to be the smart game plan mastermind.
Yep.
And sure enough, they do the backstage segment where the Singh brothers says they cannot help Jinder Mahal that much, and they feel bad. And Jinder basically agrees. He's like, it's okay. He's like, I got the power of 1 billion people behind me.
Yeah.
Or how many people are in India?
1.3 billion, I believe.
And he's like, it will work out. And then sure enough, with the return of Great Khali.
Now, do you think he's a one-off, or do you think he's come back for a while?
Oh, my God, do I hope it's just a one-off.
Yeah, because he wasn't on Raw, that I respect on that.
Yeah. I have no interest in seeing Khali wrestle ever again.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Now, if he's used to help put over Jinder, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Because if Jinder is not getting over in India, Khali will.
Yeah, that's
and if Khali puts the rub on Jinder Mahal, that helps Jinder Mahal moving forward, and I'm okay with that.
Fair enough. Okay.
Here's my thing. You have a world champion in quite the gimmick match.
Yes.
Baron Corbin, Money in the Bank briefcase holder. Why wouldn't you cash in on that match?
Probably because he saw the Great Khali and was like, oh, hell no.
Maybe.
I do think it's funny that the Great Khali grabbed the title twice and held it up like he wanted. That was pretty funny.
What was that about?
I don't know. I don't think he understands exactly what's going on. Maybe he thought he won it.
No, I don't know. Big head. Brain.
Tiny.
Yeah. I don't know. Goldfish memory probably put him back in the day where he was world heavyweight champion.
Yes. Back in 2000.
But how small does that title look in Khali's
hand? Tiny. Guy's hand's the size of the front plate.
You know, look, like, The main plate of the WWE title. The main title plate looked like a dime in Kali's hand.
Very much so.
It was quite scary.
Just, I mean, and what was it, Jinder Mahal? He's not tiny. He's like, what, 6'5"?
Oh, no. Yeah, so anyway, that was our Battleground review.
Yes.
Don't let us know what you thought, because...
We don't care.
And we're trying to forget it.
I don't mind it, but yeah, I'm moving on. We're moving on.
Yeah, we're moving on.
You know what you can do, though, and let us know about, is if you go to whatamaneuver.net.
Yeah, you should move on to whatamaneuver.net.
And there, you can get some vintage OWE or some struggle gear for you and your whole family.
Original struggle gear.
The OG shtick.
The OG shirt.
The OG onesie.
The OG sweater.
Indeed.
And the OG onesie.
Schwanzie.
For your baby.
Or for you. I mean, if you're weird.
Yeah, if you're small.
Whatever. You know, teach your own. Yeah. And do that. Right now.
And move on.
We'll wait. We'll wait right here.
Yeah. We'll wait. All right. Waiting.
Waiting.
Still waiting.
Waiting. And now we're moving on to, while you're doing that, what you should do is listen to all previous 32 episodes after this in succession by going to, what, Podbean?
Google Play.
How about iTunes?
You know what? I hear you can also check it out on YouTube.
That is the truth, son. Preach to the choir.
Speak no lies.
Exactly. What you gotta do is you gotta go find Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on all of those devices. And you can watch all of us and listen to all of us.
I think more platforms than devices.
Same thing.
Your device would be like your smartphone, your laptop.
You're a device.
I am a device.
Exactly. Device of destruction.
Woo woo woo.
Exactly. Wait, what?
I said woo woo woo.
Why? Okay, fair enough.
I do what I want. You're okay. Not my real dad.
That is also true.
Yeah.
You know who's everyone's real dad? Daniel Bryan.
Or Kurt Angle.
Yeah, one of the two.
Yeah. Yeah, so moving on from the Battleground Wrestling, we'll talk about the non.
One other thing I wanted to point out from Battleground, Kofi Kingston is the first person to ever hold the WWE, the World, the Raw, and the SmackDown tag titles.
But what does it all mean, Basil?
He's a good tag team partner, I guess.
Or is he?
Well, he wins a lot of them, so you gotta assume he is.
Mm. Yeah. It's because your push as a singles didn't go well.
Well, he won the Intercontinental 3 or 4 times, the US 3 or 4 times.
Meh.
He's this generation's Coco Beware.
No.
Nah.
No. No. But yeah, moving on from non WWE.
Alberto El Patron is stepping down as president of Combat Americas, whatever the hell that is.
It's not his destiny to be the president.
Even though he was cleared of all charges in that whole incident we just explained a little while ago, he's still stepping down.
He is, he is not up, he's down.
Indeed. And I don't know if he's been reinstated into Global Force Wrestling, but there's been a couple people who are not. They've left, and those are Magnus and Matt Morgan. Both left that company.
Now, do you even remember Matt Morgan being in Global Force Wrestling?
Not really.
No, neither did I.
And actually, Davey Richards also left.
And he's supposed to be a blueprint.
Yeah.
What?
Davey Richards also left, but it's because he wants to get his medical degree. He's going to med school. But one person on the plus side for
that. He's tired of breaking bones. He wants to take care of them.
Exactly. One person who is going to go, possibly, is Rey Mysterio. Junior.
But thanks for asking.
Exactly.
Yeah, apparently there's an offer on the table, and apparently there's interest from WWE as well.
There we go. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up going.
Yeah, because you think he'd actually be able to do some damage on the 205.
Yep.
Him and Neville.
Yep.
Should be interesting.
Assuming he doesn't destroy his kneecap again.
Him and TJP.
Yep. Him and Austin Aries. Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
No banana.
Yeah. Speaking of injuries, Buddy Murphy apparently possibly injured at one of the most recent live events for NXT.
Yeah, but so far I haven't heard anything else, so it leads me to believe that it's not as serious.
Yeah, maybe he'll be okay, hopefully. And going from injuries to retiring, Mark Henry looks like within the next few months he will be going from in-ring to backstage job of some sort.
He'll be working the halls of pain now.
Exactly. Exactly. And making a comeback? Brie Bella apparently wants to come back in 2018.
How about no?
Which makes me wonder, if she retired, why did she call it retirement? Why didn't she just say, I'm taking time off to have a kid?
Because it's a Bella and they're not smart.
Well, you're not wrong there. Oh well.
We talk about the season of Total Divas coming up, but we don't care.
There's a new Total season of Total Divas coming back?
Well, new season, yeah. Carmella and Cass are going to be on it.
Huh. See, I don't know these
Alexa Bliss is going to be on it.
I might watch. I might actually watch now.
Apparently, Renee Young and good old Dean Ambrose are no longer on it. And for obvious reasons, neither is Paige.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't heard much of her lately at all.
Yeah. I should also note other notables possibly coming back to WWE or NXT or coming to first time. Donovan Dijak and Adam Cole possibly coming here or to WWE soon.
And another one who's possibly making a return to WWE, Shelton Benjamin.
Is that official or what?
I don't know. But the name has been popping up a lot more lately, and there was a graphic of him being on the SmackDown roster.
Well, wasn't that from before he got injured?
That was about 2 weeks ago.
Mm. Interesting.
But no official word has yet.
Interesting.
Been spoken, so.
Yeah.
It's just a rumor, people.
You know what would be actually really good for someone making a debut? Someone of name, say, like Shelton Benjamin. Halfway through someone's match, middle of the show, it just flashes up on the Jumbotron real quick. Just done.
What happens if Shelton Benjamin becomes the new tag partner of Chad Gable?
That would be interesting. I'd be okay with that. Apparently, Chad Gable only works with black guys who are good wrestlers. It's possible.
Or Titus Brand.
That is also possible on Raw.
Just throwing out some ideas. Or maybe he reunites with his Team Angle buddy, Kurt Angle, and maybe tags with Jason Jordan.
That is, I guess, also possible, yes.
Just saying. Lots of opportunities and ideas floating around.
Yes.
Our table.
The other thing I wanted to get your opinion on, apparently Global Force Wrestling is now taking 10% of the money made on indie dates of their guys, and 100% of the merchandise from Global Force Wrestling is going to the company. What are your thoughts on this?
I think it's one step back from being exclusive with one company. So it's allowing talents to still work outside dates, but a portion of that will go back to the thing. I think you'll just be asking for higher POs from these companies.
Yeah.
Just so you can still get yours and the company gets theirs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I definitely think Global Force Wrestling will then work with said organizations more in the future. So it might actually benefit the growth of each company.
It is possible, yes. You're right. I'm also curious. Have you heard anything about this whole Jim Cornette comparing Omega and Ibushi to Hitler?
No. I also don't pay attention to Jim Cornette all that much.
No.
Anyway.
But I guess, yeah, he's comparing the two of them to Hitler in the sense that, he's basically ripping on them again, having a match that people love and he thinks is too stupid, they shouldn't be in the business, blah, blah, blah. The usual Jim Cornette shtick.
Yep.
And then he's saying a bunch of fans come to their defense, which, good for them, that's cool. But then he's saying, yeah, it doesn't matter if Hitler was a good painter, he's still a terrible human being. These guys should not be in the business. Which makes me wonder, why does he hate people so much? Is he doing this because he legitimately thinks this, or because he's trying to stay relevant? You gotta wonder.
Cornette's not a Jew, is he? Honest question.
I don't know. It would not surprise me if he was.
I mean, I'm just saying, he could be emotionally invested too much.
Maybe.
In this comparison.
It could very well could be.
I mean, Cornette also hated on Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and told them they wouldn't be anything in the business, and one became Universal Champion and the other one is Sami Zayn.
Exactly.
But both did quite well for themselves.
Yes.
And are doing quite well for themselves.
So I don't know. I think he's honestly just doing it trying to stay relevant.
I think Cornette, too, has a very stubborn opinion about what he thinks wrestling is about and what it should be, and stays true to those guns.
Yeah, the way wrestling, he thinks the wrestling should be, I don't think would work anymore. People want to see the high-flying, fast-paced stuff now.
I think the world we live in has dictated a revolution in pro wrestling that has changed the way the business needs to be to survive.
Yep.
Whether or not it's good or bad will soon tell based on the legacy it will leave in the next 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people would say how important the Attitude Era was as they do now, because you now see how much that made the business better
and
almost made it popular and mainstream.
Well, I'd say it was the high point of wrestling, honestly.
But at the same time, at that time, it was a Monday Night War for a lot of company, for two companies that didn't know if they were gonna, you know, survive or not.
Yeah.
So, like I said, like we'll see in 10 to 20 years if this era of wrestling is good or bad for the sport moving forward.
Yeah.
I do personally have thoughts about it.
What would those be?
You know what? We already hit the 56-minute point. I need more time, and I don't think a lot of people would want to listen to an hour and a half hours right now.
Fair enough.
So I will do tell later.
Okay. Mattel has released the Festival of Friendship in toy form.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic.
Terrific.
I think someone should go out there and actually release that picture of Kevin, the Jericho and Kevin as the god and whatever else. I think that should be an actual thing you can buy. Because I'd buy it.
Kind of like the Kramer photo.
Exactly.
Or the Kramer painting.
Hey, wasn't it Costanza, not Kramer?
Yeah, something like that.
But anyways, release that, because that picture I'd buy. It's funny.
Yeah. Is there anything else you have?
One more thing. Apparently, before we get into our upcoming events.
Yes.
Ryback apparently thinks women should shake their asses more in the ring and do less wrestling.
Oh, so like he did.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah, there's actually a video of him telling Charlotte to don't do a moonsault, shake your ass. It's weird.
Well, it's like telling Ryback, don't do a headlock, just get fired. It looks weird.
That's a good point, yeah. It's very, very strange, his
Ryback is very, very much shown how sour he is after being let go by the WWE.
I think he's just more bitter that he wasn't acknowledged as the third guy in the room for that Paige video. I mean, he was the cameraman, but
I mean, there's been a lot of memes going around saying that Ryback was supposed to be CEO of WWE, not Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
A lot of those kind of things where it's just now getting to the, you know, Ryback just literally needs to step back to reality. And understand you're not as good as you think you are.
Not even close.
Shut up.
Agreed. Well said.
If you want a big guy who knows how to work with smaller guys right back, it's not you.
Not even close.
No. I mean, Baron Corbin knows how to do it. Watch the Kalisto matches. They were a lot better than yours with Kalisto. You can even, you know, watch Batista when he was with Rey Mysterio.
Yep.
That was
good.
Yeah. A lot of guys were able to do things like that. There's nothing that Ryback did that, you know, wasn't done before.
Yeah.
Ryback wasn't very creative. Ooh, look. You're going to create a character involving the Terminator.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Not even a little bit.
No. So.
It's like how I'm not even fully paying attention right now to this conversation because Ryback's involved.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. This conversation has no juice because Ryback took it all.
Very true.
Burn.
I like what you did there.
Yeah.
So, where can they find you coming up, CWC champ? Where are you going to be in the next couple weeks?
Well, I mean, as CWC champ and one third of the Monster Pro Wrestling team champions.
Indeed.
Might add. This Saturday, the CWC is having a match called Aftermath, where I'll be defending my title against Dylan Stone.
He doesn't stand a chance. Not one chance.
And CWC fans, we have a surprise. And you'll find out this Saturday, the Abbey Center in Red Deer.
Yep.
What about you?
This weekend I don't have much coming up. I don't know what I'm doing yet.
It's an open date?
I do have an open date on Saturday, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm looking for something to do.
Yeah. Speaking of something that we know we both can do, is Saturday, August 5th, we have the Nelson Mayer Renegade Memorial Tag Team Tournament show.
Which we're going to win again.
Yeah. With Monster Pro Wrestling, live at the Alberta Ave Community Hall, where we have tickets starting at $15 in advance.
I've sold two already.
Hit us up.
Yep.
We have tickets for you.
You want to see a repeat of Tag Champs? Just come on down.
Tag Struggle War repeat.
Yes. We will win this first ever tournament with new titles.
We mentioned the free bird rule earlier.
Yep.
Just saying. Free bird rule. Indeed. Remember it.
Indeed.
Will now be referred to as the struggle rule.
I like it. That's good.
Or it'll be the tag struggle.
As it should be.
Yeah. As Maniac, myself, and the headline, Sean Martin, will be competing together as one.
Indeed.
So, come check it out. We will win the first ever Nelson Mayer Memorial Renegade Tag Team titles.
Indeed, we will. We will do that. And that is the end of that story.
Yeah. And believe us, when we say something, it happens.
100% of the time, it happens. 100% of the time.
And then, I believe at August 12th, we have a new show. As Summer Class has been officially postponed till May of 2018. You heard it here first.
Yeah, it's
official.
It's official. It's a thing. Whether they've announced it or not, it's a thing.
So instead of Summer Clash, Tag Struggle may or may not be appearing at the new CWC show on August 12th. But we'll let you know.
Either way, we'll be doing something that weekend.
Yeah. And then August 19th, I'll be in Lethbridge, Alberta for Pure Power Wrestling. Hopefully, kicking the ass of the Irishman once again.
No, hopefully, it's gonna happen.
I mean, the stupid fat idiot deserves it after what he tried to pull last month.
Yes. And,
he stole my Lucky Charms, man.
Give me his belt.
I mean, tricks are for kids.
Yeah.
Lucky Charms aren't for you. Exactly. They're for me.
What about August 25th? Do you have anything coming up?
No, I don't know. I know August 20th is SummerSlam.
August 20th.
We might have to get together then.
Might have to do something now.
And then
I got something coming up on the 25th, 26th.
We'll talk.
We'll talk.
People don't need to know what we do in our spare time.
Not all of it. No, we'll figure it out. A little taste for people here.
Yeah. So you've heard our upcoming appearances. That is all. We've let you in to way too much of our lives.
We've been drinking too much, and I have to go to work.
Yeah.
This is gonna end well.
Yeah, I don't. So that's fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, this does it for episode 33 of the Sons of Struggle.
Mike Dreff, 3-3. That's what 33 is.
Yeah.
Not like last week where 32 was actually 31 again, because someone there has been drinking too much. Get shit together. Come on.
Yeah. You might want to put any show involving Shine or, Glow. Maybe you're watching all the Glow shows on Netflix.
Fantastic, by the way. Tune in.
Yeah. It is good. Episode 33.
33. Hmm. It is the Patrick Waugh of episodes.
Or Kem Talbot.
Is that his number?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, then, yeah, sure. Adrian Acoin?
He was also 6, for the most part.
33 in Chicago.
That's because 6 was taken.
I don't care. Anyways, that'll do it for us.
And, yeah. That's it for episode 33 of The Sun Struggle. I'm Chris Parrish.
I am Maniac.
And we are 2/3 of the Monster Pro Wrestling Tag Team Champions of Alberta.
Miss you, Sean.
Yeah. He's the other third.
Yes.
And that, you know. And that completes the trio.
Yes. We are also real.
Yeah. Well, the trio is also the whole entire tag struggle. And yes, we are real.
But most importantly, we are
spectacular. Later, bitches.
Yeah.